Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Here we go, JV. Hooray! 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 They're going to beat the Bengals. Hooray! 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 They're going to beat the Bengals. No!
We Like the Bengals starts now.
And we're back, baby!
I'm sitting on the dock of Hooday,
watching the Colts roll away.
Ooh, I'm sitting on the dock of Hooday,
brown in time.
And welcome back to
Fuck You,
We Like the Bengals. I am your host, Alex Schubert. Sitting to my right today,
Lloyd Johnson.
And we have a special guest.
Hello, it's me, Comedy's Cy Amundsen, here to be a part of this.
Cy from Comedy. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine. I find that the best podcasts are recorded in a dark comedy club just mere moments before a show that the comedian's not on takes place.
Yep. That's how we do it.
Yep. You're on the shows this weekend, aren't you?
I am not. We discussed that 10 seconds before the show started.
I struggle with this thing called masking occasionally, which sucks.
No, you masking? Come on.
I can imagine with those big hands that getting the tape would be hard.
Yeah, that tracks out.
Yeah.
Oh. Was that an Alex joke?
Yes. Masking the tape.
Listen to me, fellas.
Yes.
I need. So here's my question. As a Viking fan, I'm not going to stick around for your bullshit where you make fun of my team. I'm not going to be a part of this nonsense when you guys have a coach that looks like he's the dad to several troll dolls. I'm not going to sit around and listen to your barbs at my organization when your team is owned by Scrooge McDuck. But I would like to discuss what's about to happen here, because I feel like our teams are on two very different journeys.
Correct.
We're on two very, very different journeys. Your journey is, hey, we might go to the Super Bowl. Oh, no, one of the most important players in the league is hurt. We're never going to go to the Super Bowl. And now all of a sudden, we're kind of good.
Yeah.
My team is, we got no shot at the Super Bowl. Oh, my gosh, are we kind of good? Our quarterback's hurt. We're screwed. Josh fucking Dobbs, followed by Josh fucking Dobbs. And now this, like, but there's still this belief in Minnesota because of how weird the league is and how good our defense is.
Yes.
Our defense, for context, they put a zero on the board.
Mm-hmm.
And how they many forced the Raiders to put a zero on the board.
And Cy, how many points did the Raiders put up last night?
I didn't watch it, but I heard it was more than 60.
Yes.
63. That's the most Raiders thing I've ever seen in my life, to put up a zero and then 4 days later put up 63. That is as Raiders as it gets.
It is absolutely bananas. But that is what has the Minnesota fans just losing their minds, because you're like, you don't get a top-notch defense like this very often. And it certainly isn't one that we thought we were going to get. No one thought we were going to be this good.
Correct.
And so I had this when Burrow went down and we saw what you guys looked like the week after Burrow went down. I was like, fuck yeah. And here's the thing. Not fuck yeah, because I don't want to see anybody get hurt. I never want to see a player have to miss games. But it happened, and now we have an easier path. And all of a sudden, you guys put up back-to-back 34s.
Yep.
And I don't understand it. I don't understand how former Viking Jake Browning is doing it.
Good possess you.
Big sneeze. The point is, I'm not thrilled. Do I need to be as concerned as I am?
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah.
Why is that?
I think it's actually a good matchup for the Bengals this time. Just the way that they play, I see them kind of being able to find dealing with the defense of the Vikings.
So that's my worry, because all season long, every week I go, well, this is the week they figure it out. When you blitz at the rate that the Vikings are blitzing, which no one has ever done in the NFL, you always feel like something's going to catch up with you, but it keeps not catching up with us. And I'm worried that, it's crazy to say, but a Jake Browning-led explosive offense is going to do that. Chase Brown looks like a beast.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, you guys are like, there's speed. It's, you put Chase Brown on the field and T. Higgins come back and you go, oh, the slowest offense in the league is all of a sudden immensely fast.
Yep.
Right. But also, I think since they have Browning, they're using a lot of like six-man protection stuff. And so that blitzing style of defense, I think that that's what he's seen so far since he's been playing.
Yep.
Because everybody's like, you know, get in his face, put pressure on about. So the offensive line is already set up to deal. You know, I mean, that's what they've been playing for the last three games. Mm-hmm. Is, you know, they're using the tight ends really well to pick up that six man defense. You know, defense for the offensive line,
yeah.
You know, protection. And yeah, I think that's what the Vikings are kind of rely on a bit, is that blitz package, that pressure. That so if that's what they're already been playing under for the past three games, and they're doing fine, I don't see the Vikings doing anything crazy.
Yeah.
That they haven't already been seeing.
I also think Browning has learned to handle pressure better.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, like, in the game against Pittsburgh, it was, like, sacked, what, four times? Like, T.J. Watt has number. And then against the Colts, it was only two. Or, no, I take that back. Against the Colts, Jags was two. And then Colts was zero.
It keeps getting smaller.
Yeah.
It's almost like they're learning.
Yeah, but then we have to face because the Colts D-line was like, it was evenly matched as far as sack totals, but then the Vikings have Danielle Hunter, who's got like, what, 13 and a half?
13 and a half. Quietly, weren't it not for a Myles Garrett, quietly putting together a Defensive Player of the Year sort of campaign.
Yes.
It's same as Trey Hendrickson, 13 and a half.
Yep, same as Trey.
Same as Trey.
Yep.
Fucking Trey. All right.
Yep. So with this Vikings-Bengals matchup, how do you think, because I did your show earlier this week.
You did do my show, correct.
And I talked about how I think the Bengals can beat the Vikings. How do you think the Vikings can beat the Bengals?
I don't. I'm not that sort of fan. I'm always worried we're going to lose. I don't see any path to victory. The Nick Mullins thing will be interesting.
Yes.
Nick Mullins has arm strength. But everybody looked at Josh Dobbs, who at the end of his run there was just throwing up 500 alive balls.
Yeah.
Like falling to the ground being like, what if? And he just shooting the ball into the universe. And I think
he is an aerospace guy, so he does tend to you get where I was going there.
No, great. That was both a good thought and well executed. I think that you run into this issue with Nick Mullins. I think everybody thinks he's like Kirk Cousins light.
Okay.
Right? But here's the thing with Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins protects the shit out of the ball, generally.
Yep.
He had a rough year this year at the start, but he's generally pretty efficient. Nick Mullins is a turnover machine, man. He's played about 20 games or so in his career. He's got about as many picks as he does touchdowns. Now, normally you go, well, what sort of team? Well, he's been on the 49ers.
Yeah.
And the 49ers have been pretty good football teams since Kyle Shanahan has been there, which is how, I think both of Nick Mullins' runs were when Shanahan was there. So I think what you're trying to hope for here is that, because Mullins has the arm talent. He's got a big old arm.
Yep.
But everybody got so excited. But he came in and his first pass was tipped. And a number of other ones were like off the mark but completed. So he knows the offense.
Yeah.
That's what you guys have to be worried about. If Mullins knows the offense and O'Connell can do what O'Connell thinks he can do, Justin Jefferson's going to play, Jordan Addison's going to play, TJ Hockenson's going to play.
That hurts.
Those are issues for you guys. So if this defense comes to play, I don't think they're going to put a zero on the board. I don't even think they're going to put a 10 on the board. But if they hold the Bengals to 24 instead of 34,
yeah,
I think that's realistic. And so now your question is, does Nick Mullins know the system well enough and can he protect the ball well enough to get them to 24 points? The story all season this year for the Vikings have been turnovers.
Yep.
So Does he know the system? Can he protect the ball?
And the Bengals, I just found out, have the second best turnover differential in the NFL. And I also found out they lead the NFL in interceptions.
Yep.
That's surprising, seeing as you guys got rid of two of your best defensive backs.
But if you look at the young guys that have been playing, they've been playing extremely well. Like, DJ Turner's sneaky, like, stat-wise, is sneaky really good.
Except when they have to cover tight ends.
Yeah.
Yep.
Anytime you tell anyone on your team to cover a tight end, it seems like they ask your coach, well, what's a tight end?
Yeah.
Is it a linebacker problem? Is it a safety problem? Is it a scheme problem?
I think it's the thing.
How are you guys struggling so bad with tight ends?
Take that back. We have 13 interceptions. We're fourth in the NFL.
Okay. I think that, I think it's more the...
Light as a gentleman, this has been a stat correction brought to you by Alex Schubert.
Brought to you by Grippos.
No, I think it's more of a scheme thing because, honestly, it's the same way they haven't been using tight ends. I think they just don't incorporate them as much in their thinking.
What if the reason is that your guys' tight ends are so bad that they never have to deal with it in practice?
Yeah.
And so they come to games like, don't worry about them. They never do shit. It's like, oh, the other ones have good ones.
Go on. What were you going to say?
That was the end of it. That was a poor joke, and I was finished with it.
That's okay. you and me both at times. But our
wouldn't be a podcast without Shoob shitting on himself. You can be like, you can come on Shoob's pod and be like, this is the greatest show in the world. And Shoob is like, yeah, for a fucking idiot. Anyway, back to the Bengals.
Because our de facto starter, Tanner Hudson, was on the practice squad to begin the year.
But he's playing well.
He is.
So, but also, they're using tight ends more. Like, I think they've just started.
You have to. You can't have an inexperienced quarterback and not have a safety valve.
Yep. Right. That's what I'm saying. So, they're actually using them in the way that where you're like, I think we probably should have been doing this the whole time, guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, the big giant guy who can get the ball from high up in the air when you throw it across the middle. Like, maybe use him sometimes.
Do that. Let's try that.
He's doing some pretty cool stuff over there. I'd like to keep checking it out.
I'm worried that it's going to be worse than it was last week, which seems like a difficult thing to do. Watching them play a 0-0 game deep into the fourth quarter the most unenjoyable shit. Like, there's been some unenjoyable games in my time watching the team, but that was... The only way this one's worse is if you guys just fucking thump us. That'll be hard to stomach. It'll be hard to go, because here's what the trajectory has been like. The season's over, 4-4, and then Dobbs comes in. We win those two, and we go, holy shit, who knows? And then we lose those two games that we shouldn't have. Both the Broncos and the Bears game, there were opportunities to win, and we should have won those fucking games. We'd be 8-4. Even if you were replacing Dobbs, you'd really have a path to potentially the division. Who knows what else, right?
Yep.
But to lose those two to go to 6-6 and then win this one in such unenjoyable fashion means like you lost a game you should have won. You lost a game you should have won. And then you won the most unenjoyable. Like, if I have to put on the end of that an ass whooping by the Bengals, it's not going to be a great time. That's not going to be enjoyable.
Because I kept watching that game on. I was like keeping up with the ticker on Sunday. And I'm just like, man, it's a 0-0 game. It's a 0-0 game. Man, this is a 0-0 game for a while.
Yeah.
It was
not fun to watch.
Didn't seem like it.
I love how you guys have I have an autoimmune disease.
Yes.
And I have a baby on oxygen. And you're like, can we come do the podcast? This show might as well be called We Have a Cold. Lloyd has half of his lung laying on the table. And Shub's in between doing a weird spitting tick. Is also just hum, 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 hum,
clearing
hum,
my
hum.
Throat.
Yeah, let's see, clearing the phlegm out and trying to harm size baby. What a disaster. Should we do this in a closet?
Should we
just finish the show and practice kissing?
Yeah, let's just make out.
You can hear Shub's getting sick on the show. He's like, man, I really had a good time and that was it. This is wild. Let's keep going.
Yes, let's keep going.
No, I've been in a dusty basement all day, so
I'm coughing.
That's what you guys just call it when Lloyd performs oral on Shubes. Being in a dusty basement
Shub's
all day.
Dad is the dusty basement.
Yeah, it's Shub's dad.
The rusty Shub's, basement.
Shubes is the he's the moist basement.
Yeah, Shubes is the moist basement. So tell me, here's the thing. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get out of the way. Because I'm not going to stick around while you make fun of my team in its entirety.
Okay.
I don't want to hear the roast jokes.
That's fine.
Because I'll get mean. I'll get very, very mean about this city that thinks spaghetti is chili. I'm not charming when I make fun of people. Everybody's like, oh, that's just a fucking bully. So when I feel attacked, I lashed out. But before I go, and before I let you guys get to the roast, tell me, when you guys search the team, you don't have to tell me the jokes, what is the dumbest thing about the Vikings? What is the best thing to make fun of? What is the thing you're most enthused to criticize?
I think the quarterback instability right now, I think you brought it up multiple times. Like, this is the fourth quarterback you guys have had this year.
That's the thing you want to make fun of, not TJ Hawkinson's hair.
No, yeah, I was going to say, there's a...
Yeah.
Let's. I'm going to give you... Here's the thing. Right, we'll count you back in, Shubes. 3, 2, 1, take it again.
I would think I'm going to make fun of the hair of TJ Hawkinson.
Well, now you're just parroting me.
actually, a term you and I discussed once before, I'm using it for Hawkinson on this, and I'm going with Snowbilly.
Snowbilly. That is it's a very good look. If I were attacking my own team, some of the things I would focus on is, although I love our head coach, he does look like a bully in a 90s movie about prom.
Yep.
He looks like he still says gay every time he puts on a purple shirt.
Yeah, he does look like, he looks like a ski villain in a rom-com. It looks like somebody who's the guy that shouldn't be marrying the girl at the beginning of the movie.
The one Dane Cook knocks out of the way to get to the girl. Yeah,
yes, yeah. Correct. So I would go there. Hawkinson's hair is really, really easy. I mean, Kirk is hurt, but there's a gold mine in the Valley of Kirk.
Yeah.
I would say it's hard not to make fun of... Well, just the people of Minnesota.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're, you
live in a place where your eyeballs can freeze in your head.
It's a hard place to live. It's a hard decision to continue to make.
You've made a few wrong choices by the time you wake up there.
That's correct.
So, like I said, if you go outside and you can, like, I saw the thing on TV where it said imminent death warning about, like, your lungs crystallizing and freezing if you went outside. And I'm like,
correct.
You know, you can just move.
Yeah.
Like, you know, where the air doesn't murder you?
Yeah.
You can just go somewhere else.
Now, I agree with that, but I would say if we're going to criticize areas for the air murdering you, I don't think we should throw stones from the most allergy-ridden valley maybe on the planet. This place is like a fucking... mildew and dust bowl full of allergens. I grew out of seasonal allergies.
That's why you gotta eat the spaghetti
chili. Yeah, thank you.
That's why you gotta eat it.
No, thank you. it builds up that immunity. I came down here and I was like, I thought I got rid of allergies 10 years ago and I didn't. Now, Shubes will tell you, as he's in the process of getting me and my baby sick, that he has allergies.
He's
it's jealous. Not.
Yes.
No, here's the thing.
He's jealous of the baby.
He does have allergies, but if there was a world record for getting sick... Shubes owns it. Shubes, yes. Would you have COVID like 7 or 8 times?
I've had it, I think, 3.
There's no way it's 3 times.
I've tested positive like 3 or 4
times. I've known you
to
have it 2 times,
yes.
At least.
Yes.
And I moved down here when everybody was like, COVID's over. And I'm guessing there's like at least been, it's like you have some genetic mutation that attracts the COVID. Like there is this.
Well, they do say that the number one way of getting a transfer is usually touching something and then touching your face. And he's got those giant fucking hands, so he touches so much stuff.
Yeah, and I
that he's just got. It's just more of a surface area thing. You know what I mean? Like
it's like Shubes has a no, because Shubes has a good dad, but it's like the way Shubes uses his hands in regards to his face is like he has a mean dad who's like, you'll never be able to touch your face with your hands, Alex. That's how often he does it. Like, he's trying to prove a stepdad wrong. I'm surprised they haven't created the Shubes variant yet.
I also have a former stepdad that I'm trying to prove wrong.
That tracks.
Yeah.
Nothing has tracked more than that.
Yeah.
Also, I think you might just be jealous of your baby. I think he actually wanted to be your baby.
And I would love that. Here's the thing. I have 3 babies. I have my youngest baby. I have my dog baby, Kevin. And yes. I have my oldest son, Alex. Now, does he listen? No, not great.
No.
Does he bring COVID into the home often?
Yeah.
More than you'd like. But everybody has their flaws, and our job is to support people.
Yes.
Yeah.
Our job, much like the people of Minnesota... is to support people that you're not convinced are going to succeed on Saturday. Are you going to the game, Shoops?
I am going to the game and immediately going to a wedding right after.
That can't be.
That's a bad idea.
That can't be a good decision. Now, are you DJing the wedding or are you guesting at the wedding?
I am guesting at the wedding.
That's better. I don't think I need, just at the Bengals game, Alex, DJing my wedding,
oh,
Alex.
Oh, God, no.
I do.
Well, I know you do, Lloyd, but I feel like you're the sort of guy who wants a chaos wedding. Yes, you're like the sort of guy like, could we set, is there any way we could have like a baboon in one of the closets in the dance hall?
You know where I used to work. I can make this happen.
I know you can. That's why I used a very specific reference. You're the sort of guy, Lloyd, who if I found out that you had a long history of setting people's vans on fire, I'd be like,
no, just
fucking
pictures of their grandma.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not even a joke. That's a real one.
Well, I'm going to pass on that.
I'd rather not. I don't know what happened in Crawford, Alabama.
Don't want to hear about that either. I'm leaving. You guys are going to do your roast. But first, what's the score? Tell me what the score is.
I'm going to maintain my prediction from yesterday, 23-20 Bengals.
I'm going to say 34-17.
Bengals?
Yep.
34-17 Bengals?
Uh-huh.
Lloyd, fuck you.
Why?
I hate that.
I would love a third 34.
Of course you'd love a third 34, but I'm not going to make a prediction because here's the thing. You've both predicted a win. So here's the thing. Either you're right or I get to talk shit.
Yeah.
If I throw a prediction out there, I've trapped you is what's happened here. Mm-hmm. If I throw a prediction out,
okay,
somebody can talk shit back to me. So I'm just going to say, we'll see what happens. And now both of you are on record and I sure fucking hope that it flip flops your score, Lloyd.
I hope so.
I care about you a lot, but I sure fucking hope it flip flops.
For you all, hope the same thing, but not really.
Not really.
I think if Nick Mullins,
Rock-a-bye.
Shouldn't have quit Cometown.
Huh?
You don't know, do you not know that Mullins, you don't know the Rock-a-bye? You're a music
rock-a-bye
guy, Sean Mullins? The song Rock-a-bye? It's like right up your alley.
Okay.
I mean, we're skipping right over Nick Mullin.
Yeah. We are skipping over Nick Mullin.
The comedian Nick Mullins. Yeah.
But I think if Mullins can fully take advantage of Jefferson, because our pass defense is like not the best. Like, we pick balls off, but we also give up a ton of yards. So if Mullins can capitalize on having a fully healthy Jefferson, Addison, KJ Osborne, TJ Hawkinson, if he can capitalize on that, and I have seen him put up yards in the past.
Mm-hmm.
If he can do that, long afternoon for the Bengals.
Correct.
But if the Bengals D-line, if Trey can get to him, if Sam Hubbard can get to him, if DJ Reader can get to him, if BJ Hill can get to him, we have a decent front four. So if they can get to him before he can get to his weapons, I think the Bengals can pull it off.
Also not incorrect.
But
thank you guys. Love you. Love the show.
All right. Follow Cy on Instagram at ThatChadDaniels.
You want to just jump to the Burns because time issue.
Yeah, you got a little time constraint. Let's review the. Let's do a real. Yep. You want a real quick game recap?
Micro machines that shit.
Bengals won 34-13. Jake Browning, 18 of 24 for 275 yards. He led the NFL in yards per attempt.
Love it
by a considerable margin.
Love it.
He had two TDs. Both of which were the respective players' first career touchdowns. One was Chase Brown, which I not only bet on, but I predicted.
Good job, buddy.
And Tanner Hudson had his first touchdown.
Yeah, big two.
He also threw a pick six, which was kind of devastating, especially since I was in the bathroom when it happened. And it was like, so I went to the bathroom from the game right before Mo Alie-Cox caught his touchdown. It was 14-0 when I left. And when I got back to my seat, tie game.
Yeah.
It was fucking insane. He also had three rushes for 7 yards and a tutty.
Nice.
Rushing stats, Mixon, 21 rushes for 79 yards and a touchdown. And Chase Brown, 8 rushes for 25. The real story was the receiving game, because nobody had more than 4 targets or 3 receptions. Chase Brown, 3 receptions, 80 yards and a touchdown. T. Higgins, 2 receptions, 72 yards. Mixon, 3 for 46. Jamar Chase, 3 of 29. Didn't need him that much. And you know what? That's okay. Tyler Boyd, 2 of 23. Tanner Hudson, 2 for 21 and a touchdown. He got a game ball.
Nice.
And Drew Samps, 2 for 4. And Mitchell Wilcox and Travion Williams, 2 receptions for -1 yards combined.
Good job.
We also mentioned the Colts scoring their points quickly, running the fucking running back tandem of Zeke. Of basically, it's our Zeke and Pollard, which is like Mixon and Chase Brown. Fucking,
it's working.
It's working. We're finally utilizing the run. But yeah, that's pretty much it.
Right.
We're finally utilizing the run. Also, one thing I want to talk about before we get to the roasts is the five snaps that AJ McCarron played. Dude, I was there, and you would have thought that the Beatles were appearing on the Ed Sullivan Show because, my God, that crowd was loud.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah, so Zach Taylor said he wanted it to be a loud crowd on Saturday. So if you want to be loud, just pretend that AJ McCarron is in playing five snaps and getting minus one passing yards. That stadium might explode.
Yeah, I like it.
But you know who we're about to make explode?
Fucking Vikings.
The new man on the Minnesota Vikings. I'm sorry.
It's okay, buddy.
All right. So we are going to start with the mascot, Victor the Viking.
He looks like, you know, like when little kids get super like congested and they have snot like all down their face and all over their hands and everything.
Like, oh, so like me for, oh my God. He looks like a kid that's like ugly crying and like can't control his fucking snot.
Yeah. And it's just dripped on everything. And
yeah,
that's
dude.
What it looks like.
Yeah. Do completely agree with that. The owner is Ziggy Wilf.
He and his brother and cousin were found liable in New Jersey court for breaking civil state racketeering laws and keeping separate account books for to fleece former business partners of their shared revenues. These shifty practices have trickled down to the whole team, so now the QB and the rest of the offense seem to be playing out of two different playbooks.
I actually did write on that. So with the state racketeering laws, a judge said that Ziggy Wilf allegedly used organized crime-like tactics to commit fraud against his business partners. The last time someone in the Vikings organization committed a crime that was organized, Fred Smoot got a bunch of his teammates to bang hookers on a boat.
All right.
You remember the Love Boat scandal?
Barely.
It was like 2005, and I think it was like the Vikings just like had like a sex party on a boat, and then there were like hookers on it and shit.
Oh, yeah.
It was fucking rad. The GM, Kwesi Adofo-Mensah. All I have is college brochure face.
He looks like non-Cheadle.
The head coach, Kevin O'Connell.
After starring in Stand By Me, he went on to have some really fun movies like 1996's Joe's Apartment with singing cockroaches, Scream 2, Kangaroo Jack. Oh, wait, that's Jerry O'Connell. I don't give a shit about this guy.
Neither do I. Do you know what Kevin O'Connell and Josh Dobbs have in common? They are both former NFL quarterbacks.
That's true.
Yes, it's very true.
I was like, but he's playing. That one just, that was a very dumb moment for me, and you deserve to laugh for that I didn't give you. I just completely brain farted it.
You know, one of our dozens of listeners will probably be losing their shit at it.
Yeah.
But speaking of Vikings quarterbacks, Nick Mullins.
He found real success in 2016 with his hit podcast, Cometown, with Adam Freeland and Stavros. Damn it, I did it again.
I mean, you can talk smack about Nick Mullins all you want, but you got to admit, he's done pretty well for himself ever since he was criticized for raising the price of that AIDS pill by 5,000%. He looks like Martin Shkreli, who's a dickhead.
Yay.
I forgot to include Jaren Hall, but let's do Jaren Hall.
One question. When did Abercrombie start making people?
They kind of have their mannequins.
Well, I mean, they got one fucking playing for Vikings now.
Correct. Jaren Hall went to BYU, and you might get this joke, you might not, but that's fine. Jaren Hall went to BYU, which makes sense because Jaren Hall sounds like the dorm building at BYU where soaking was invented. Do you get that joke?
Yeah.
Okay, just wanted to make sure. But now, Josh Dobbs.
He came in and got the Vikings out of a very hairy situation. For the first time in a long time, he's showing real signs of growth. Get it? Because he doesn't have any hair. Dude don't have no hair.
Josh Dobbs was an heiress. I've roasted Josh Dobbs a lot.
Yeah.
No hair jokes this week.
Slipping.
But Josh Dobbs was an aerospace engineering major at Tennessee, which is very helpful since he'll be familiar with the rocket ship the Vikings want to put him on after his last two starts.
Nice.
We'll edit that out. Ty Chandler.
Oh, you mean Grapefruit Simpson? God damn it. Works better if you actually say the words correctly.
That is totally okay. But also, Alexander Madison.
He looks like someone taught him how to smile today, and he's still trying to figure it out.
So, this is another joke. I don't know if you'll get it, but actually, you know what? I don't really want to say my burn on air, so I'll just DM it to him instead. Because, okay, you didn't get that joke. After a game in, it was like earlier this year, I think he like had like a fumble or something like that. A bunch of people like DM'd him slurs.
Oh.
Yep. And I don't want to make fun of that incident, because if you are the kind of person that DMs an athlete angrily, your cock is tiny as shit.
Yeah.
It's like, you blew my fantasy league. I'm going to call you a racial slur. You made me lose my $25.
Fucking classy.
Shut up, you bitch. But anyway, Justin Jefferson.
He looks like he gets drunk and sings Incubus songs at girls.
So that's me.
Oh, well, yeah.
There we go. But which Incubus song, though?
I don't know.
Pardon me?
Could be.
Probably not Wish You Were Here, because he plays for the Vikings and no one wants
to be there.
Yep. Justin Jefferson was taken to the emergency room on Sunday after a hit to the ribs, and he said he was screaming and yelling while watching the game. Yeah, so was I, except I was screaming, for the love of God, someone do something. Please. It's 0-0. I bet the over. I bet my kids' college fund on this. I'm tired of it.
Yeah. That game was rough.
Yeah. And the speedster, Jordan Addison.
In July, he was pulled over for doing 140 in a 55 in his Lamborghini Urus. He told the officer at the scene that he was driving that fast at 3 a.m. due to a medical emergency involving his pet dog.
Yep.
So I say one of his teammates should stand in the end zone with his dog with a gun to its head to keep him going, to get him going fast on game day.
You know, that story is nuts, but it is nice to see a young wide receiver drive that fast to save a dog's life instead of end it.
Nice.
It's the Henry Ruggs twist. Ellen Pollander, how you doing, friend? We're just doing the pod. Oh, I forgot. Oh, no, I didn't. KJ Osborne.
Apparently he took the number 17 because it's the biggest one he knows.
KJ Osborne saved a man from a burning car in Austin in March and said he was at the right place at the right time. Of course, being in the right place at the right time is referred to as not being at an Austin open mic. Golly, some of those comics are bad.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah.
Entitled whites.
Yep. Which is what... Actually, entitled whites is what Duke calls their basketball team. Yep. And finally, DJ Hawk.
He looks like a trailer park grandmother. Like good old fashioned Minnesota trash.
Yeah.
So, like I said, I'm going with Snowbilly.
And I had no idea the lead singer of Three Doors Down went into hiding for 15 years. but yeah, you know what?
What?
Lloyd.
Alex.
I think we got him pretty good.
Fuck yeah, buddy.
Also, shout out to Cy Amundsen for fucking not only coming on this podcast, but fucking I got to do his. And it was so fun. And just know that if you want to know what it's like to have an autistic person on your podcast, just know it will take two takes. Because I was just so fucking nervous to do it. I'm just like, oh my God, like there's an NFL. That's like me and Cy, and we're talking like it's like NFL shit. It's like there's actual NFL people. So I'm like, oh my God, I gotta like. be really good. I got to fucking follow Roy Wood fucking Jr., who's incredible at comedy.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
Yeah, he's pretty good. But, no, that was fucking awesome. I did a... Can I talk about an incident I had last week that I texted you about?
Yeah.
So, last week, we were recording here in the office above Go Bananas with Sean Patton.
Yeah.
And I was on my way here, and I took the Pfeiffer Road exit, and I looked to my left, and I fucking see, just in some dude's driveway, it's like a pickup truck with like those anti-abortion writings on it. It's incredible.
Yeah, it was. I mean, like the giant. It's giant. The whole truck is.
Yes.
Not just like a couple stickers. Like the whole truck is
it, Yeah, and he's got like lighting and shit on it. And it, also, one thing that was in that drive that just made me was like the pickup truck, another like a truck bed with like other shit on it, and just a random Kia Forester. Just like, what's that doing there?
It's the roommate.
Yeah.
It's like, oh God, I moved into the wrong fucking house.
So he's like, well, the rent was cheap.
No, I wonder why.
But so I, so I'm like, dude, I sent you these, but I'm like, dude, I got to get pictures of this.
Yeah.
And I was taking pictures a little too long.
Got caught.
I did get caught. The guy just, which by the way, I don't know if you've ever encountered a guy with crazy things on his truck like that, but they're not the most pleasant people.
No,
especially crazy. When you're on their property.
That sounds.
Is this a crime?
No, not yet.
I was just like taking pictures, and the guy just comes out the front door like, "Hey, how you doing?" I'm just like, "I like your truck," and I walked away. So I had to go to Skyline. I just went from there to Skyline. And I didn't want to get, like, reported to the cops. So I'm just like, you know what? So I, like, parked in, like, a side neighborhood. So I just, like, I took the long way so he couldn't read my license plate.
I don't think you would have gotten any trouble for taking pictures of a truck.
Yeah. It was on his property, so who fucking knows?
Yeah, well, you weren't doing anything bad.
No. I haven't posted them on the internet at all. But definitely a very funny story that I had. I just wanted to talk about so bad. And I think I have seen that guy like when I tailgate at Bengal Gyms, and I've seen that guy like drive by.
Nice.
I was like, holy shit, I know you.
We're friends now.
Yeah. he probably forgot about me, but who gives a shit? Because Lloyd, plug your shit.
December 29th, Chameleon, 9 p.m. Got a great lineup. It. Pine Violent Show. Yeah, follow us on everything.
Hell yeah, dude. I do not. So I had a family thing, so I don't know if I can do Shut the Fuck Up Nashville anymore. Which I'm probably gonna like move it. I'm gonna try to move it to another date. That said, I'm not gonna plug any of my dates right now because my plug fucking watch Kenny DeForest. He's a comic. Just I know you like you didn't really get to know him much, but like I met him a few times, and I only remember like meeting him in passing, and like no pun intended obviously, but like I met him a few times just like when he would come to Go Bananas. I think he like came through Cincinnati a bunch, and he was always super cool. He was very, very funny. He's got a Seth Meyers set under his belt. He had a Corden set under his belt. He had some comedy set. He had a full hour fucking special. And he was always very funny. He just was killed in a... He was, like, riding his bike in New York, and he got struck by a vehicle and, like, fucking... just, like, horrible brain injury that he just couldn't recover from, which absolutely sucks. And it's like... What time is it? I don't want to keep it too late. 6:07. Oh, we got time. About 5 minutes or so.
Yeah.
So, like, I always... And... Correct me if I'm using like poor wording here, but one of those bittersweet parts about comedy is when a comic, I don't want it to take a comic dying for me to appreciate their shit. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's like one of my all time favorite comics that I will talk to you about for hours is Geraldo.
Yeah.
And he died a year before I started. So I never got to see him. I met his kid though. Nice. Kid's cool as shit. And he's funny too. But I just don't want it to take. I just want us to stick around for the fucking long haul, man. I'm tired of it, and but it just sucks.
Yeah,
that comics have to keep, like, it just always seems like it's like the best people.
Yeah,
which is also because like the worst people in comedy usually quit. So
hopefully,
yeah,
there's some that hang in there for a while.
Oh yeah, if you would. If you think I am one of those comics, feel free to DM me. I'm Big Shubes on Instagram. Also, like, there was one, and this is, you know, I don't like when like people make someone's death about yeah. them. This is one thing I will say about Kenny though. Like, there was one day, like, he like liked one of my clips on Instagram, and I was like, that like kind of made my day a little bit, because I'm like, he's always been super funny, and it just fucking made my day. It was fucking awesome. But he was always funny, and everything, just reading story after story about him was just like, this guy was just universally loved by everybody.
I hated him.
You hated him?
I'm kidding.
Lloyd, what the fuck, man? We're having a moment, and then you're just like, that guy was a dick. His poster is literally on the wall at Go Bananas.
Yep.
From where, like, I'm looking at it right now from where we're recording, and the staff is trying to set up right now, and they're probably looking at us all funny. Right, Ellen? No, you're fine. No, we're not.
All right, let's land this.
Yep. But yeah, I will say, like I said, I'm on the road next week, or 2 weeks from now. I'm going to be in, I'm going to try to go to St. Louis. I'm going to be in Springdale. I'm going to try to do Nashville. Then I'll be at Helltown on the 30th. Got a couple shows next year. I'm going to try and line up some weekends. But Lloyd,
Alex,
I think we only have one thing left to say.
Fuck you, Minnesota Vikings. We like the Bengals. Bomber.
Fuck you. We like the Bengals.